VOA 1, the hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Dan Novak. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use word phrases especially written for people learning English. Coming up on the program, I have a story on how Hong Kong's COVID policies are creating plastic waste. Anna Mateo brings us this week's words and their stories. Dan Friedel and Katie Weaver report on college graduation speakers for the Education Report. Faith Perlow has a story on Ukraine's first woman prosecutor. And Brian Lynn reports on a marathon runner with one leg. But first, Hong Kong's strict quarantine policies are intended to stop COVID-19 at the border and prevent its spread in the community. But the policies have been criticized for damaging the economy and negatively affecting the mental health of citizens. Environmentalists say the policies are also hurting the environment by creating too much waste. People arriving in Hong Kong will find plastic everywhere in quarantine hotels. Remote controls are wrapped in plastic, pillows are covered in plastic bags, and food comes with plastic utensils. Skincare company owner Clementine Vaughn flew into the city on April 4th. Most visitors to Hong Kong are required to stay 14 days in quarantine hotels before they can freely travel in the city. She told Reuters that all the staff members at the quarantine hotel wear protective covering, like gloves, face coverings, and gowns, to prevent the spread of the virus. The phones, you know, the remote controllers, everything's been cellophane wrapped, she said. Hong Kong throws out more than 2,300 tons of plastic waste a day. The government estimates the recycling rate is just 11%, which means most of the plastic goes to landfills. A government spokesperson said officials were aware of a large increase of waste since COVID began. The government says it is urging people to be more environmentally friendly. Edwin Lau is with local environmental group, The Green Earth. He said Hong Kong's decisions about COVID shows its lack of environmental awareness. People living in quarantine hotels, they are not confirmed cases, Lau said. He said the government should permit the recycling or reuse of plastics from quarantine facilities. Hong Kong is one of the few places that has a zero COVID policy. It has quarantined tens of thousands of people this year in buildings for COVID-positive people and close contacts. The quarantine hotels add to the waste problem. Guests of the hotels told Reuters all meals come in plastic bags. Paul Zimmerman is an elected district councillor. He said the facilities themselves are also wasteful because they cannot be used long-term, like public housing. They've been built very quickly and don't comply with any particular building standards we have in Hong Kong. I'm Dan Novak.
And now,
words and their stories. From VOA, Learning English. This program takes a deeper look at words and expressions in the English language. Sometimes we take one word and see where it leads us. Today, we look at the word fence. One definition of fence is an outdoor structure that encloses an area. Fences mark property. They are barriers. A fence is different from a wall because it does not have a solid foundation along its whole length. Fences are used to keep things in, like animals, or keep things out, like criminals. Speaking of criminals, when they deal in stolen goods, they are fencing and could be called a fence. And if the criminals are fencing stolen goods while having a sword fight, you could say they are fencing fences. But let's get back to fence meaning an outdoor structure. As we said, a fence marks a property line. It gives you privacy. People can't see onto your property, and vice versa. To many people, this is a good way to keep peace in a neighborhood. Everybody just minds their own business. Sometimes if a neighbor knows too much of your business, it could lead to problems. That is where this proverb comes from. Fences make good neighbors. This proverb appears several times in Robert Frost's poem, Mending Wall, published in 1914. Our next expression is very common, to be on the fence. If you are sitting on the fence about something, you are undecided. A fence divides property into sides. So, if you are on the fence about something, you have not taken sides. For example, let's say your child's school just raised $20,000. School officials want to spend that money on either new science equipment or a new outdoor play area. They ask the parents to give their opinion. But you don't know which is more important for the students, so you sit on the fence for a while. You don't feel strongly about either choice. If you did, you would certainly pick a side and not stay on the fence. Sometimes we turn this saying into a noun. A fence sitter is someone who always stays neutral. They never take sides in an argument. They do not seem to have an opinion of their own. And they never take a stance for anything. This could show a lack of courage. So calling someone a fence sitter is usually an insult. Now that is not the case if you are simply undecided about an issue, or if you need more time to make a decision, or if you just don't care. For example, let's say there is an election coming, and I have not decided who I am voting for. I can say, I don't know, I'm on the fence between two candidates. This doesn't mean I'm unwilling or unable to pick a candidate. I just haven't yet. However, let's say I never vote because I can't make a decision. And I have a long history of being indecisive. Someone could rightfully call me a fence sitter. And that would rightfully be an insult. And that's all the time we have for this Words and Their Stories. Until next time, I'm Anna Mateo.
Popular singer Taylor Swift is expected to be one of the well-known people speaking to students and their families at graduation events in the United States this May. The singer planned to perform in places around the world in 2020, but she canceled her tour because of the COVID-19 pandemic. However, if you are a family member of a 2022 New York University graduate, you will be able to see Swift next month. The performer is receiving an honorary degree at the university's graduation ceremony, also called commencement, on May 18th. The event will be held at Yankee Stadium, the home of the famous baseball team. Swift is one of many well-known people who will be speaking to students and their families at graduation events in May.
This year's list includes Dr. Anthony Fauci, actor Tyler Perry, and New Zealand's Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern. Fauci is director of the U.S. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, a division of the Department of Health and Human Services. He has been the top U.S. infectious disease official during the pandemic. Fauci will speak at Princeton University in New Jersey on May 23rd. Perry will speak on May 9th at Emory University in Atlanta. Perry is an actor and movie maker known for creating the humorous character Madea. But he is also known for parts in Precious, Gone Girl, and Don't Look Up. Ardern won praise for strong policies at the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic. Those policies are credited with keeping case numbers low in New Zealand. She will speak at Harvard University on May 26th. NYU students graduating next month told the publication Inside Higher Ed that they are already being contacted by strangers. People are asking to buy their tickets for hundreds of dollars. NYU students only receive 2 tickets to the event, which normally go to their parents.
Sean Nesmith is graduating in May. He used Twitter to post the image of a message he received from a person asking for his tickets to the event. The person said they would make a huge sign and cheer for Nesmith using a device that increases the sound of your voice called a megaphone. "It's just crazy," Nesmith told the publication. However, he did note that there will probably be some people, especially international students, who sell their tickets because their parents will not make the trip to New York. However, NYU has said it could punish students who sell their tickets for money. NYU's president is Andrew Hamilton. He said, "The 2022 commencement is exciting, since it is the first time since 2019 that NYU will be able to correctly honor its graduates. I cannot overstate how thrilled I am to be coming together in person," Hamilton said in a story posted on NYU's website. The university will have 2 events, in fact. One, honoring the class of 2022, will be held in the morning. That one includes Swift. Another one honoring students from 2020 and 2021 will take place in the evening.
Fauci will speak at the Princeton event known as Class Day. It takes place the day before the school's commencement. The university's Class Day is organized by a group of students. It will be the first time the event will be held in person since 2019. The organizers of the event said Fauci played a big part in helping students have a much more normal senior year. They credited his work on public health policy during the pandemic. At Harvard at the end of May, Ardern will be the main speaker at the university's event for graduates. President Lawrence Bacow noted Ardern's efforts to deal with such issues as gender equity and climate change, in addition to her work keeping New Zealand safe during the early days of the pandemic. He praised Ardern's compassionate leadership. Harvard will hold a separate event later in May for students who graduated in 2020 and 2021 who could not attend their graduation in person. At Emory University in Atlanta, Tyler Perry will be the main speaker at the school's graduation on May 9th. Perry centers his movie production in Atlanta. Universities sometimes pay their famous commencement speakers. In 2016, the Associated Press wrote that Rutgers University in New Jersey paid writer Toni Morrison $30,000 in 2011, and the University of Houston paid actor Matthew McConaughey $166,000 to speak in 2015. The actor donated the money to charity. A spokesperson for Keene University in New Jersey said a well-known speaker makes their commencement just that much more memorable.
Some schools, including Harvard and the University of California, Berkeley, usually do not pay their speakers. Others only pay travel costs. The honor of speaking at Harvard seems to be payment enough for people, such as movie director Steven Spielberg, who spoke in 2016. I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Katie Weaver.
Messages, reports from across Ukraine read: one civilian dead, 13 military casualties, 5 civilians injured. Ukrainian Prosecutor General Irina Venediktova is looking at her cell phone as the messages come in. Her staff will collect the messages, register the reports, and investigate them for evidence of possible war crimes. Venediktova declared last week that Ukraine would seek official international justice against Russia for its war. She noted at the time that the process would not be a quick one, especially as the warring continues. And so it is. The office is slowly and carefully gathering the information with one goal in mind: to hold Russia's military and its president, Vladimir Putin, accountable for the death and destruction in Ukraine. Venediktova's office has opened more than 8,000 criminal cases linked to the war already. Investigators have identified 500 suspects so far, including Russian government ministers and military commanders. Venediktova has deployed prosecutors to refugee centers across Ukraine and at border crossings. They talk with the displaced, seeking the refugees' stories of the war to document as evidence. Even little details reported by a witness can be important. A description of an attacker's clothing or the sound of shelling might lead to a major finding. The interviews are slow and careful, but worthy of the time. Vinodiktova and her office say they have documented evidence of mass burial sites, execution of civilians, shelling of civilian areas, repeated attacks on hospitals, forced disappearances, torture, sexual violence, and cities under siege, denied food, water, and humanitarian aid. For Vinodiktova, the goal is personal. "I protect the public interests of Ukrainian citizens," she told the Associated Press. "And now I see that I can't protect these dead kids. And for me, it's pain," she said. The 43-year-old former law professor became Ukraine's prosecutor general in 2020, the first woman to serve in the position. Since the war, she is on the move continuously, with special safety measures in place, including bulletproof military clothing. There is little time to eat or rest. The main functions of the law are to protect and to compensate. "I hope that we can do it, because now it's just beautiful words. No more rule of law," Vinodiktova says. "It's very beautiful words. I want them to work." Recently, Vinodiktova visited the Lviv office. She and prosecutors spoke with Alla. Alla is 34 years old, and she has an 8-year-old daughter. Alla did not give her last name because her daughter is still in the Russian-controlled area. Alla explains to them that the shelling destroyed her home. She collected a piece of metal for evidence. "We need proof for them to be punished. I am lucky. I am still here to talk about what happened to me," Alla said. Vinodiktova has been creating partnerships and relations with human rights groups. Some of these groups and the public have been concerned about the Ukrainian authorities in the past. Vinodiktova also wants average citizens to help collect evidence by using their phones to send the information to a government website. In the past 5 weeks, there have been over 6,000 claims on the site. Most nights, Vinodiktova appears on Ukrainian TV to speak to the people of her country. She tells them that Ukraine will punish Russia for its actions. I'm Faith Perlow.
A woman who lost one leg to cancer is seeking to break a world record by completing 102 marathon-length runs in 102 days. A marathon is a race that goes 42 kilometers. Jackie Hunt Brosma, who lives in the western American state of Arizona, set her goal in mid-January. And every day since then, she has been running the distance of a marathon. Most of the time, she runs on roads and trails near her home in Gilbert, Arizona. Sometimes she completes her runs on a running machine called a treadmill. Hunt Brosma averages just over 5 hours to complete the runs. If she keeps successfully completing marathon-length runs every day, she will reach her goal by April 28th. She would then hold the world record for completing 102 back-to-back marathon runs. The current world record of 101 marathons was set April 10th by British runner Kate Jaden. The 35-year-old Jaden does not have a disability. Hunt Brosma, a native of South Africa, lost the bottom half of her left leg to a rare form of cancer in 2001. The biggest struggle was accepting that part of my body was gone, she told the Associated Press. Hunt Brosma said that until 5 years ago, she was not very active. But then she looked into running and decided to give it a try. The sport ended up being quite costly. Currently, she runs on a prosthetic leg made out of a strong, light material known as carbon fiber. The carbon fiber blade she uses, which is designed specifically for running, costs about $10,000. But Hunt Brosma says her investment has been well worth it. Running really changed my life, she said. It helped me accept myself as an amputee. It gave me a sense of freedom. I fell in love with the process of pushing my body further just to see what I could do. However, she has faced both physical and mental difficulties during her record-breaking attempt. On one recent day, Hunt Brosma said she felt near collapse at 24 kilometers and began to cry. In that moment, she felt like her planned goal might not happen at all. I had a total emotional breakdown. I was like, I just can't do this. What was I thinking? She said. The trick for me is just to break it down into little goals, she added. One of her recent runs was the world-famous Boston Marathon in Boston, Massachusetts. She finished that race, held April 18th, with a time of 5 hours, 5 minutes. Hunt Brosma's main support team is her husband and their 2 young children. She is documenting her progress online and has also gained a large social media following. As she nears the end of her goal, Hunt Brosma is hoping to inspire a single thought in others, regardless of their own physical limitations. She tells people, you're stronger than you think, and you're capable of so much more. I'm Brian Lynn.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Dan Novak.